Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon is the epistle lesson just read. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. There is no distinction. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time, so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Are you scared of your death and the day of judgment? Are you afraid of a righteous God and what it means to be held accountable to God? In his early years, Martin Luther surely was, especially after reading the words from this third chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans. He struggled for many years with the concept, the righteousness of God. Not because he didn't believe that God was righteous. In fact, that was really the problem. He knew that God was righteous and holy and perfect. He also knew that he himself was not righteous and holy and perfect. He beat himself with whips and sticks. He starved himself in order to bring his body into submission and to remove all temptations to sin. But he failed. He worked as if he could somehow attain the righteousness of God, and yet all he found was struggle and guilt at his sin. No matter how hard he tried, he couldn't live up to the righteous requirements of God's law. He couldn't make himself stop sinning. He couldn't set aside the guilt that he had because of that sin. Compared to the other monks, Luther was faultless. He was perfect. But that wasn't good enough to be compared to the other monks. He was compared to God's law and to His righteousness and holy word, and he realized quickly that he was guilty of breaking every single command of God. Further, he was not able to see God as a loving Father. This is very much our problem too. We are sinners. God is not. He is righteous. We are not. And if righteousness were God's only attribute, then He would have no choice but to strike us down in our sins. But as the text says, God is also love. So here is now God's problem. This is the divine dilemma that is being spoken about in this text. In 6 days He created the heavens and the earth and all that is in them because of His love. He created mankind because of His love. He wants to forgive our sins because He loves us. But He cannot deny Himself. He can't wink at sin and let it go away unpunished because He is a righteous God. Do you see the struggle here? The Church of Luther's day tried to deal with this dilemma by making God less loving. They burden consciences with the enumeration of sins and confession, purgatory and the sale of indulgences, and the fear of immediate judgment of God upon sinners. They knew, they understood, and they clearly taught that God was holy and righteous, and that He could not tolerate sin. But they failed to mention that God is also merciful and righteous in Jesus Christ. the law and the works of the law trumped the gift of the gospel. Many churches of our day are equally as wrong as the church of Luther's day, but they do exactly the opposite. They teach that God is merciful and loving and full of grace. They talk about being justified by grace through faith. But their solution to this divine dilemma is to believe that God winks at sin, that He rewards our good intentions and our best efforts. In other words, they do not believe that God is holy and righteous and that He hates all sin in every form. In this scenario, the gospel is cheapened and the law is totally removed. Neither of these views or methods are correct. The Scripture teaches that God is merciful and loving, and at the very same time, He is righteous and holy. When there is no sin in the world, this did not create a problem. But as soon as Adam and Eve sinned, and sin entered into the world through into His perfect creation, then God had a dilemma. For the creation had become sinful. And because He is holy and righteous, He hates sin. The creation had to be punished. You know that the wages of sin is death. Isn't that what He told Adam and Eve? If you eat the fruit of this tree in the garden, you will surely die. They had sinned and they deserved to be punished. He is a righteous God and has no choice but to punish them. And yet God, by His very nature, is also loving. And He cannot stop loving His creation, no matter how sinful they are, any more than He can wink at their sin and set it aside. Again, do you see the dilemma? What is God going to do? For He is at war with Himself. Listen again to a portion of the text. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. This was to show God's righteousness because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Did you hear the answer? All are justified by His grace as a gift. He didn't trample on or offend His righteousness by winking at sin. But neither did He stop loving His creation by striking them down in their sin. Instead, in righteousness and in love, He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to take the sins of the world upon His shoulders and to die in our place, to die the death that we deserved. God made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. This is what it means when the text says, so that God might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. For in Jesus' death, God punished sin to its full extent. He is just. In Jesus' death, and at the very same time, He has forgiven the sins of His creation. God is merciful and loving. The dilemma is gone. God has dealt with it the only way that He could, in His Son, Jesus Christ. The wages of your sins still bring death. But the good news is that Jesus Christ has made atonement for your sins and for the sins of the whole world. Many reject the gift of life and salvation that He offers. Many try to go out and earn it in some other way or find a way to buy it for themselves. These will be lost. For there is only one who is righteous. There is only one who loves. There is only one who saves. You know quite well that you haven't and that you can't earn your salvation. But God has earned it for you in Jesus Christ, and He has given it to you free of charge. It was not free, for it cost His only Son His life. But He gives it to you freely. And this death of His only Son is what absolutely had to happen so that God could be just as well as the justifier of those who sin. This is the only answer. It has always been the answer for the redemption of the world and for this dilemma that is faced within God. This is not an answer that us poor miserable sinners could have ever arrived at on our own. For just like the church of Luther's day and the church of our day, we seek to change God. But the change has to happen within us. And it does happen within us through Jesus Christ. Then we can see that God is righteous and holy, and He is merciful and loving. Martin Luther's great epiphany or awakening came when he read these words again and understood them in light of Christ. By the Holy Spirit's enlightenment, he came to the knowledge that the righteousness of God was not something that he could earn, but something that he already possessed. He saw clearly that he was a sinner. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But he also saw that God has done this work in him to bring about salvation. He realized that he had been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection. He knew that this was not his doing or work, but God's work on and in him for his salvation. Luther's best efforts, your best efforts, are not good enough. The law cannot be fulfilled by anything that you are able to do. But these things have been accomplished in Jesus Christ. No matter how hard we try, sin, guilt, and temptation cannot be defeated or destroyed by our works. God's righteousness isn't something that can be earned. It is not for sale. But it is freely given to all who believe in Jesus Christ. Again, the text, we are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Even this faith in Christ, which receives and believes God's promises, is not our work. As Paul writes to the Ephesians, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." This is the gospel. This is your salvation. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so it is that on this day we again give thanks to God for sending His only Son to be our just and justifying Savior. We give thanks for the life that He has given us in His name. We give thanks for His faithful servant, Martin Luther, who through the reading of God's holy word and by the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit through that word, rediscovered the pure, sweet gospel that had been stolen away from him and from all of God's people. Because your sins are forgiven in Jesus Christ, crucified, died, and risen, you have no reason to fear death or the day of judgment. You have no reason to fear a holy and righteous God, for you also know Him to be loving and merciful. You have no reason to fear or to be worried about anything. The markets may continue to fall. The world will continue to be in turmoil. Deadly storms will continue to ravage our land. War and bloodshed and sickness and disease will always be with us. But our just and loving God has set us free from sin and from all of these worries and fears. He has saved us from all of our troubles. Whatever comes tomorrow, remember that God has given His only Son for you and for your salvation. He has promised to be with you through the trials of this life. He has even secured your eternal future where there is no fear, no struggles, no sin, no tears. Let us pray. With might of ours cannot be done, soon were our loss affected. But for us fights the valiant one, whom God himself elected. Ask ye, who is this? Jesus Christ it is, of Sabaoth Lord, and there's none other God. He holds the field forever. Though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us, we tremble not, we fear no ill, they shall not overpower us. This world's prince may still scowl fierce as he will, he can harm us none. He's judged, the deed is done. One little word can fell him. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.